Genesis chapter 25. I know that a lot of intellectual people here tonight, and so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, stay with me. This is not a message I'd normally preach at a missions conference, and after 15 years on the mission field, my heart is still there. In the next few days, I'll talk about what God is doing there in Pachuca and Tulancingo. What a blessing to remember the group that went down to Pachuca, passed out 40,000. Preacher, I lied for years and said we passed out 40,000 of those John and Romans in an hour, hour and a half. And we found 2,000 of them that somehow hadn't made it all the way to Pachuca. So we actually passed out 38,000 John and Romans in an hour and a half at that festival. God used that greatly. But I appreciate the work here at the printing ministry and all the scripture that's gone out around the world. Amen?
Amen.
Those discipleship booklets are still being used that Brother Fuller helped us print up years ago. Genesis chapter 25, verse 28 says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau," look what it says, "despised his birthright." Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight that you'd bless your word. We thank you, Father, for these men, their ministries. Father, we thank you for their faithfulness all these years to preach the word and get the gospel out. I can't imagine the harvest one day we'll get to see in heaven as a result. Father, help us over the next few days to once again focus, refocus on the most important thing in all the world, reaching the lost with the gospel. Father, burden us once again. Help us to do more than we've ever done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am one of those guys. I like to look and observe and watch and meditate and try to figure out. I like finding the root of the problem, preacher. I like going straight to the root. I don't like messing with the leaves and everything else. I want to find out what the root of the problem is. And because of that, I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, the blessing. And it may take you a while to put all this together, but be patient with me tonight, because this has a lot to do with missions and what I believe may be the root problem in our churches today when it comes to doing more in the area of missions. You know the story here of Esau and Jacob, two brothers, twins born minutes apart. And Esau was the oldest. He had the right to the birthright. He was his father's favorite. He was a hunter, a hairy man, his daddy's helper. And then you had Jacob, who we'd call a kitchen boy. He was loved by mama, loved to cook. But one day, Esau had been out hunting, we don't know for how long, days, and he had not got anything or shot anything. And he comes back famished. He walks in the door, and there's Jacob cooking. And he says, "I want something to eat. Can I have some of that stew?" And Jacob wants something in return. Jacob had been waiting for this moment. This did not just pop out of the blue. This wasn't a thought that just happened to come across his mind. He'd been thinking now for maybe years on how he could get this blessing. And he saw his moment. He saw his brother at a weak moment. And he said, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you some stew. But in exchange," and his brother cut him off and said, "You can have my knife. Hey, you can have my best suit of clothes. You can have my new leather shoes." He said, "No, I don't want any of that." He said, "I want your birthright." And he thought about it for a moment. Now, obviously, he didn't think about it that long. And he said, you know what? What good is my birthright going to do to me if I'm about ready to flop over dead of hunger? Now, women, you got to understand this is the way men think. If they haven't eaten in 6 or 8 or 10 hours, they're convinced they're going to flop over of hunger. So the best thing you can do for your marriage, for your husband, is have a sod pottage ready for him the minute he walks in the door. Amen? That's just a marital tip tonight along with this message on missions. But Jacob says, give me your birthright. And Esau despised his birthright. Now let me just say this in the introduction. You got to understand what was at stake here. There were three things very significant concerning the birthright. First of all, there was the financial aspect. The son with the birthright ended up with twice as much as the rest. Now, he was very fortunate because there was only two boys, which means that 66% of everything financially would be his as long as he held the birthright. That means if daddy had 1,000 head of cattle, he'd get 667 of those cattle. That means if he had 100 sheep, he was going to end up with 66. That means if he had 250 goats, you do the math because I don't know. But he would get a lot of them. Amen? Now, you would think, just from the financial aspect, and if you read chapter 26, look what it says in verse 13, or verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land, received in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, this is speaking financially. So Isaac, Abraham was a very wealthy man. He passed that down to Isaac. And now Isaac's wealth was going to be passed on to these two boys. And whoever held the birthright was going to end up with twice as much as the other. Now, just thinking logically, you would have thought that Esau would have said, that bowl of stew is not worth that kind of sacrifice financially. Are you with me? But there was another aspect to it, and that was a political aspect. The owner of the birthright would become the decision maker, the patriarch. We talk about the patriarchs, we think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also gave that up. Then there was a spiritual aspect. Look what it says back in Genesis chapter 12. That would be to have God's blessing. Isaac, Jacob, and Esau knew what God had told their granddaddy. Look what it says, verse 2. I will make of thee, Abraham, a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now look what he was giving up. He was saying, I'm going to give up a huge amount financially. I'm going to give up the political seniority in the family, and I'm also going to give up God's blessing. Now, for me, that's way too much to sacrifice. But the Bible says that he despised his birthright, the blessing. Now, what I want you to see here, two different philosophies. One that says the blessing isn't very important to me, and the other one that says I've got to have the blessing. I can't live without the blessing. Life is too crazy and things are too hard, and I want a head start, and I want some help, and I want to have that blessing, and I'll get it at any cost. Now, you may not agree with the way he went about scheming to get it, but I do like his mindset, which said, I refuse to live without the blessing. Now, this wasn't the only time. You see it throughout Jacob's life. You see it once again when Isaac grows older and his eyes become dim of sight, and Jacob walks in there and tricks his father and gets him to pray over him and receives a blessing. And then in Genesis chapter 32. Now, folks, we come to the house of God to study the Bible. Amen. Don't let yourself become bothered by looking for Scripture. Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He wrestled with him. Now, imagine this. We know that angels were extremely strong, and all he did was touch the hollow of his thigh. It went out of joint. And Jacob said, I'm not done wrestling. I'm going to fight on. The angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not letting you go. Take your hands off me. I'm not going to do that either. Why not? I want to bless you. Look what it says. Verse 26. He said, let me go for the day of break. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now I want you to stay with me for a few minutes. I want you to think about this. Here's Jacob saying, I'm not going to live without the blessing. You know, we have a generation of young people, a generation that says, I don't need a blessing to live. I can make it in life without the blessing. I don't need daddy's blessing. I don't need my pastor's blessing. I don't need any authority's blessing. I don't need God's blessing. I'm going to make decisions. I am 18 years old. And I have a lot of experience underneath my belt. And I can make these decisions without your help. That's smart. That's genius. You know the end result of those kind of decisions. And here's what's amazing. Pastor, we're trying to preach missions and we're trying to reach the world and we're trying to raise finances and we're trying to do it with a crowd of Christians that have never even found out how to get the blessings of God. And that's frustrating. Now the Bible tells us that Jacob lived desiring for this blessing, and Esau said, it really doesn't mean much to me, and it didn't until he lost it. Then it became a serious matter. Then it became a problem. January, about the 18th or 19th, my mother called us up 2009 and said, Adam, you need to go ahead and come on back. Your dad is excited that he's not going to do any more treatments and you need to say goodbye. I got my brothers and sisters together in a vehicle. We drove 10 hours. We drove all night. We got there about 2 o'clock in the morning. Dad only weighed about 105, 110 pounds at the time. He lay there in the hospital bed and we sat down and we talked. His mind was clear. And he said, guys, I'm done fighting. I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to go to heaven. He talked to us for about an hour, and then everyone else left the room, and Dad and I had a conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I said, Dad, I want you to do me a favor. Would you put your hand on my head? Because I want you to bless me. And he did. Now, I had not waited until his death to get his blessing.
Amen. Amen.
From the time I was a child, the decisions that I'd made, the first car that I ever bought, when I started courting this young lady right here, Dad, what do you think? Dad, what's your opinion? Dad, can you bless that? Now, why in the world is it that we have a generation of young people that say, I don't care what Daddy thinks. I don't care what Mama thinks. I don't care what my pastor thinks. I'm going to live without their blessing. And they give it their best shot. They get into debt. They marry wrong. They mess things up. They find themselves in all kinds of problems. You know what the Bible says about this man? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, why in the world would you want to go through life without the blessing? Let me ask you this. Why would you even want to do something that your dad couldn't bless? Why would you even want to do something that God couldn't bless? Or that your pastor couldn't bless? I'm a firm believer in this, and I've told Chris, there are some men of God that I respect. I don't idolize those men, and I know they're weak and frail and human. But I also told Chris, listen, when they start to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, We're going to be right at their side because I want you to be there at their passing and I want them to have their hands on your head.
Amen.
You say, believe me, I'm not a charismatic. And I'm not talking about some health and wealth gospel. I'm talking about Bible principles that said, you better get the blessing of authority. You better get God's blessing. Why in the world would you want to have a ministry and not be have God's blessing? What? How in the world do I think I can be a good husband or a good father or a good pastor or a good leader without God's blessing? I've watched men become frustrated. I've watched fathers live frustrated. I've watched husbands live frustrated and their wives live frustrated and their children live frustrated because they tried living without the blessing. I know Christians that like to get involved in missions, but they can't because they lived 20 years without the blessing. And at 45, they're in debt. And their marriage is falling apart. And their wife's not even behind them. Young people, you had better tonight get a hold of a Bible concept that says, I'll live every day seeking God's blessing.
Amen.
You know why I'm convinced to live by Bible principle? Because I'm 39 years old. And after 39 years of living, I figured out you glue yourself to Bible principle and you glue yourself to God's blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, preacher. I told you to be patient. I've lost some. You don't know where I'm going. Stick with me. Look what the Bible says about Esau. Lest there be any fornicator. Or what's it saying? What's the Bible call Esau? A profane person is Esau. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. You know what people sell the blessing for? It's always a morsel of meat. Quickly up, barely satisfied. I've watched young people do it. I've watched men in the ministry for 30 years do it one day. Brother Fuller knows one of our young ladies, my church secretary, went off to Bible college. She was there 2 years, met a young man, preacher boy. She brought him back and said, preacher, what do you think? And I said, don't do it. She said, would you bless it? And I said, no, I won't bless it. She asked her daddy, what do you think? Daddy said, I won't bless it. Well, Daddy, he's a preacher. Well, Daddy, he's a Christian. I said, he's not for you. I said, would you bless this? I can't bless it. You know what? If your preacher says, I can't bless it, run. If your daddy says, I can't bless it, run. You seek the blessing. She said, you know what? If Daddy won't bless it and preacher won't bless it, I'll bless it. And it'll be blessed. Pregnant out of wedlock. I preach in a church in Mexico. 1,200 people are there. And all of a sudden out of the back of the crowd, here comes this girl. Tears running down her face. She hands me her little baby. She said, preacher, living in a shack. Daughter of a doctor. She said, could you bless me? You know what we want to do? We want to reject the blessing when it's convenient. And not have to pay the consequence. And then magically we're supposed to come behind and then wave our hand of blessing over this mess and make everything all right. You can have God's forgiveness. But God's forgiveness never erases the consequence.
Amen.
That's what we have failed to teach this generation. Said, preacher, what about the forgiveness of God? It's still good. His grace still forgives. But guess what? On this earth, in this life, you will still pay a consequence.
Right.
This profane person, do you remember in Genesis 27? We don't have the time to go back there. But after he had lost his blessing, he walked in and he said, Father, bless me. And his dad said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. He said, no, Jacob already came in and he already got the blessing. And he started crying and said, Daddy, bless me, bless me, bless me. Sorry, son. Now you get to live without the blessing. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. How many remember the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? You remember that? Then after all that time, here comes Joshua, their new leader, a new era. They're going to the promised land. They cross the Jordan. They go to Jericho. They march around the walls every day for 7 days. They blow those trumpets. The seventh day, they march around 7 times. They blow the trumpets. The walls fall down. The people are ecstatic. They can't believe it. What a victory! And then they go to Ai. And they're confident. And Joshua said, you know what? We just need a handful of men. This is an easy battle. This is an easy victory. And they're routed. Look what it says in Joshua 7. Go back there with me. Are you still with me tonight? Joshua 7. Look what it says. Joshua is horrified with what's happened. Verse 6. He's rent his clothes. He's fell to the earth. His face is before the ark. He's laying there, dust upon his head. And Joshua says in verse 7, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? O Lord, what shall I say? Verse 8. When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, he's crying, he's brokenhearted. He said, God, I can't live without the blessing. Some of you better get this tonight. You're trying to live still at 40 and 50 and 60 years old without the blessing. He's laying there, beaten on the ground, saying, oh God, I can't live. I can't do this. I can't lead these people. We can't survive without your blessing. And what's God say in verse 10? Get up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. She traded the blessing for some pottage. You go back to 6:19, it says, all the silver, the gold, the vessels, the brass, the iron, they're consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come to the treasury of the Lord. What had happened? Achan had gotten out there. He had touched the first fruits. And God said, you want to bless? You want to be blessed? You want to have my blessing? You don't touch first fruits.
Amen.
Jericho's the first fruits. You touch the first fruits, that's mine, and I'm serious about it, and I will curse you. Did you get that? I will curse you if you touch the first fruits. Don't do it.
Amen.
So Achan goes out there. Look what Achan said when he's confronted in chapter 7, verse 20. Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight. Look what it says. And I coveted them and I took them. I trampled over the Word of God. I trampled over the Holy Spirit of God. I trampled over all these things. And I touched the first fruits. God said, don't do it. You'll lose my blessing. Now, Christian, are you starting to follow me? Some of you still aren't following me. I'm going to have to get practical and plain and clear, crystal clear. You know, there are Christians that have been sacrificing the blessing for years because they repeatedly touched God's first fruits. God said, the tithe is mine, don't you touch it. Before I've been pastor for 20 years and I still have Christians saved 8, 10, 15, 20, 25. So, preacher, is it the gross or the net? Why would you fiddle with getting cursed when you could live blessed?
Right.
You know, if I rent a house and I'm still paying on the mortgage, do I tithe off what I make over the mortgage or do I tithe off the rent? You're an idiot. You're a blatant idiot that is playing with the curse versus the blessing. And I want to be so far towards being blessed that I never even come close to crossing that line of being cursed. You remember Malachi 3, 8 through 10? He robbed me. And you said, where do we rob thee? And he said, in tithes. and offerings. That includes missions, amen. He brought me in touch. Now, he said, prove me herewith. I'll still open up the heavens and pour out a blessing, and you'll not be able to receive it. But you don't touch the first fruits. In a crowd this size, folks, I don't know you. It's been several years since the last time I preached a missions conference here. And brother, your preacher never ever told me anything about you or your giving. But I guarantee you, in a congregation this size, there's still someone touching the first fruits.
Right.
Yeah. And think somehow, some way, God can still bless them. Preacher, how many times you have someone come up and say, preacher, things have kind of gone wrong, kind of gone south for me. Would you pray for me? You know what happens? People habitually steal the tithe and lose God's blessing, receive God's curse, and then say, come pray. Wave that magic wand. Help me get the sticks. I just had everything, lost everything in the stock market and had some business deals go south and I messed things up. Yes, it's called the curse of God.
Amen.
Now folks, you take a look at this book and you know what, the blessing of God can eliminate your problems. But it sure is nice to go through the problem with the blessing of God. How many remember that widow woman, Elijah, and she gave what she had, and she went through that famine with the blessing. That doesn't mean she turned rich. That doesn't mean she's walking around with Gucci purse and brand new shoes and a nice new dress. That means she had enough to eat when everyone else was starving to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Kendall, what would you trade for the blessings of God? Now, here's a problem. If you got to be careful talking about the blessing of God because you make people jealous. And you get people looking cross-eyed that have never experienced the blessing. Have you ever seen someone? I mean, every car they buy, no matter how new it is, always broke down. You make me nervous. You say, that's bad luck. Brother, if it weren't for you and bad luck, I wouldn't believe in luck at all. You know, there are Christians that continually, habitually convince themselves to try to live without the blessing of God. And then we sit in a missions conference and they get miserable because they're trying to make this whole thing work and it just doesn't work when you're trying to do this without the blessing of God. You know how miserable you are, how miserable you try to be when missions conference rolls around and you've tried living for 10 or 15 or 20 years without the blessing of God and your finances have never come together. No matter how much you made, no matter how many raises you got, no matter how many good jobs you ran across. God put holes in your pockets. How many remember Haggai? 1:3-10. He said, you're out there sowing and planting, but you just can't seem to reap. He said, I cut holes in the bottom of your bags.
Right. Yeah.
And Jacob said, I can't live without the blessing. I can't live without the blessing. I cannot give without the blessing. You know, we have people trying to make financial decisions. Here's how people go to their pastor seeking the blessing. Pastor, can I come in for some counsel? It's not counsel. It's come in to let you know what I just did. I just bought this house for $20,000 more than it's worth. Property taxes are outrageous. I put $3,000 down. It's an adjustable rate mortgage. But I want you to know God led me all the way. And you say, what do you do, preacher? I shake their hand and say, God bless you. God bless you. Because guess what? That's the only blessing you're going to have for a long, long time. You know what? If your pastor can't pray with you and say, God bless this decision. Well, preacher, what about this girl? If he can't say, God bless your decision, I would look a different direction.
Amen.
Preacher, I believe God gave me this child. It's only one Sunday a month. It's $110,000. It's $20,000 more than I've ever made before. My wife and I have talked about it. We can get the CDs. I can watch it online. I'll listen more preaching than ever before. Preacher, bless him. Preacher says, I won't lift my hand.
Amen.
And guess what? He becomes your enemy. Because
right.
He won't bless him that goes against Bible principle. And surprisingly, you're living worse off $110,000 than you were living off $80,000. Someone shake their head in here tonight. You said, this isn't a missions message. It is tonight. Here's what we're trying to do. I've watched people live desperate. I've watched people live frustrated. I know I've been on the mission field 15 years. I've been in God's work for 20 years. But the bottom line is, during the most of that time, I've pastored. And during the majority of that time, I've helped Preacher Fuller. How many times have you seen people come in and they're frustrated and they just can't get things to work financially or in their marriage or with their children? They can't get past the hump. They can't make it work out. They can't solve the same problem they've been trying to solve for 12, 15, 18 years. And what they repeatedly try to do, I'm going to do this without God's blessing. And God says, no, you're not. What you better do is get out of AI.
Amen.
What you better do is get the blessing. Look what it said in Genesis 39. I want you to show you an example tonight. Say, preacher, why would you show us Joseph? It was like bad luck was hanging around his neck. He was sold as a slave, thrown in a pit, falsely accused, forgotten about in prison. Well, here's the deal. He was living by Bible principle, glued down to it, continually seeking God's blessing. Were the problems? No. But boy, you want to talk about riding high on those problems. Look what it says in 39:2. Here he is in the house of Potiphar. And the Lord was what? And as a result, what's it say? He was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. His master, even a lost Egyptian, saw what? The Lord was with him. And as a result, what happened? The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight. He's made overseer. Verse 5. Came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in the house over all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. You know, when you're blessed, you don't have to walk around trying to convince people you're blessed. You know what we do? People go $40,000 in debt, sign a 5-year note on a car to convince themselves they're blessed. Can barely hustle up $100 a month to give to missions. And they will argue to their blue in the face that they're blessed. Kids are a disaster, not a single spiritual desire. Marriage is a mess.
Yeah.
But preacher, look at my new furniture set. And I only owe 24 months of payments.
Mm-hmm.
I would call that cursed.
Amen.
It was a great contentment that comes with God's blessing. The blessing of the Lord was upon, what's it saying, all that he had in the house. Well, you say, yeah, he's falsely accused, thrown in jail. Look what it says in jail, verse 20. Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoner was bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord, what's it saying, was with Joseph. Showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Look what it says, verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. The keeper of the prison threw him the keys and said, Joseph, I'm out of here for a little while. I'm going to take a vacation to the coast. Would you make sure everything's running smooth while I'm gone? Yeah. That's called the blessing of God. Because the Lord, what's it say? Are you with me? The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now folks, we left out a lot of scripture. And I got through this as quick as I possibly could tonight. I want you to get one thing in your head tonight. We're trying to get people to the mission field. God blesses missions. God blesses giving. I remember Acts 20 when Paul said, remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give. He said, I've been blessed. How many say receiving the blessing? Folks, I've been given beaten for a church. I've been given checks for thousands of dollars. My truck was broken down. I got a phone call that said, are you needing a vehicle? I said, yes. He said, is a Suburban sound good? I said, that's all I've ever driven. We got a new one waiting for you. You don't even have to pay for the paperwork. Now, folks, that's blessed. I was pretty excited. But Paul said, it is more blessed to give. He said, preacher, why do you give? Blessed. I want God to bless. I live every day on the floor, waking up saying, God, I need your blessings today. I don't want to be a daddy of two teenagers if God doesn't bless me. I don't want to pastor a church and try to help several churches in Mexico unless I have God blessing that ministry. I don't want to preach a conference. I don't want to be a husband to this wonderful woman if God is not blessing me. Why would I want to live a day? Why would I want to try to do this on my own? How many times those of you, the pastor, sat back and said, what am I doing? What did I get myself into? What was I thinking? And you get on your knees and say, God, you've got to bless this. God, you've got to do something here. You know this problem. You know the depths of this problem. You know, humanly speaking, there's no solution. You've got to bless this. And you look at people saying, you know, if I get it, if I don't get it, if I ever had it, I never find it, I'm fine. I've laid on the floor and told God, I am not pastoring, I'm not doing your work if you don't bless us. Amen. Folks, we've seen a building maybe close to worth of being $1 million in Mexico. Our second work just finished their church. Our third work is buying their land. Those little missions that these guys saw years ago. We were dating four men right before we left. His little church running 130. Alejandro's work is running about 80, 85. Busted at the seams. They're trying to find, they outgrew the house and now they're in the patio and they put metal up all over trying to get this building built. Last Sunday they had over 100 people crammed out there in the backyard with metal overhead.
Amen.
I was arguing with God. In January, I said, God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in the state. I don't like this philosophy. I want to keep people safe. And I walked in my office, and my secretary said, put it in my box, and I pulled it out, and there was a list of people who got saved that year, the people who got baptized that year, our first year in Austin, and there was 56 people who got saved in our church services, and there were 42 people baptized in our church services last year. And I had my booklet from last year, Mexico, and I opened up. And pretty guess what? We saw 40 people baptized in our work in Mexico. Our main work. God said, you griper. You lousy, low-life griper. There ain't nothing makes you happy. And I said, God, you know what? If you just bless this, I'll be happy right here. You bless these people and you bless this work. You get the talk, you know, you bless these kids and you bless the school and you bless this institute. You bless what we're trying to do in Mexico. And God, if you would just bless this, I'd be okay with everything else. And here's Jacob. I'll give you the stew that it's going to cost you. Because I want that blessing. He said, that was pretty devilish. That was pretty tricky for him to put coat skins on his arms. He said, I want the blessing. What do you think you're doing? Take a breath with an angel. That's stupid. Look, you injured yourself for life. You're going to live forever. Yeah? But I'm going to have the blessing. Some people, I promise you this. If you look me in the eye, for one minute, I'm going to pray. You change your lives if you'd say, I'm not doing anything in life without the blessing. The blessing of mama, the blessing of daddy. It will keep you pure. You don't do anything the mom and dad wouldn't bless. You want to know how to buy the right vehicle, marry the right person, and work the right job, go the right place. You get mama's hand on this, you get daddy's hand on this, you get grandpa bless this, you get God bless this. Guess what, Jacob? People look at you with envy and say, and when Christian's conference rolls around, it's not torture. You're saying, I've got more to give. I got more I can do. God, I'm willing to go. Guess what? If you have not lived blessed, you will sit in missions conference squirming, frustrated. And you'll say when you put your no, I don't got another dime. We're in the midst of a crisis. Things are bad. Yeah? Been so bad when you're living blessed. Father, I pray tonight.